This week on The Big Room.
It reminded me a lot of like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was going to say that.
Like the plot of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It reminded me a lot of Guardians.
Don't insult Pirates of the Caribbean by comparison.
It's a grand adventure with a lot of lighthearted fun.
So it reminded me.
No.
Welcome back to The Big Room for the penultimate episode, maybe, of Sword Month that might turn into Sword Month and a Half or 2 months.
Whatever the show. I was like, oh my God, we're ending.
We're
the penultimate.
We're doing 64 episodes and that's it. No, just kidding. First, though, before we end the podcast forever, we must do the news. We're not ending the show. In the news this week, and by this week, I mean last week, because there's no real news this week. JoJo Siwa.
That's a name I've heard.
Debuts a new song and is largely embarrassing.
Yes.
So she is in the news for romping around dressed like a Gen Z Gene Simmons, promoting her new song that isn't actually hers. Her song is called Karma and is a lyrical tapestry. Are you ready for this? Whoa, oh, oh. Oh, oh. Karma's a bitch. Whoa, oh, oh. Oh, oh. Karma's a bitch. Isn't that incredible? Damn, yeah. That right there,
it's really catchy.
Songwriting.
She couldn't write that?
She didn't write that. Now, when I listened to this song, I thought, this sounds a lot like a Miley Cyrus song from about 2011. And not only did JoJo Siwa steal Miley Cyrus's voice box and vocal fry, she sounds like shit.
Miley Cyrus?
Well, JoJo Siwa and both of them. They're both talk like that.
Yeah, they do. It's like, too much drugs.
Karma's a bitch. she claimed her song as well. TikTokist Adam the Flop did some digging. This is all his journalism. So thanks, TikTok man. And found that the song was written by Antonio Armato and produced by Rock Mafia, both of whom wrote and produced Miley Cyrus's songs roughly a decade ago, as well as other Disney pop stars in the biggest air quotes I can possibly muster. Evidence suggests the song was written for Miley Cyrus in 2011, but then scrapped for containing the word bitch. Problematic because Miley was still under contract with Disney at the time, so she couldn't use it. The song was also recorded with a music video by artist Britt Smith in 2012, but ultimately scrapped as well. However, that video is on YouTube. You can listen to the song and watch the music video. And when I tell you the song is exactly the same, it is exactly the same. The song was also, I already said that. Normally, JoJo Siwa, notably, she's not listed as a writer at all on the song because she isn't. Despite insisting in interviews that she created a new genre of music with the song.
What?
Called, that's the worst.
Called gay pop.
Okay.
It's like K-pop, but with gay instead.
What gets me is how delusional she is that she thinks she's doing something new.
Oh, she is. She thinks she's reinventing it. She's got all this horrible... Like she was on that Dance what? Moms...
I really know nothing about this person. My.
That's because you're not on TikTok.
Yeah, she's not a musician, right? This is her first song?
You're an old asshole. No, so you know, she's not a musician. She was on that dance...
She's a dancer.
What's the Dance Moms?
So you think you can dance?
No, it's called Dance Moms.
Dance Moms. She's on Dance Moms when she was like a preteen.
She's a pageant.
Oh, no,
girl,
when she was like small, like six little. Or seven.
But recently was back in the news as like a late teen. She's 20 now, but as a late teenager, she was on Dancing with the Stars, and then she came out as gay, and she was all like bright bubblegum pop, like ribbons in her long ass hair.
Side and ponies and bows.
Just like weird. Right. Like, and now she's like, I'm a bad girl who's done bad
no,
stuff.
No, Cameron, she's like, I'm a bad girl.
Is she Batman?
She sounds like it. Like, she's got that Miley Cyrus vocal fry.
Gay pop.
Yeah, gay pop. I invented it. It's like K-pop, but it's gay. And the music video is just, it's her
so bad.
Dancing with and singing to girls, like, as close to their faces as I am to this microphone.
It's cool.
It's nice
she's
too.
Just, like, right in front of a person being like, whoa, karma's the bitch. And it's like, you are the worst person ever. Like, it's just, I look at that and I get the strongest sense of secondhand embarrassment. But
it's pretty bad.
For the song's sake, that's why it sounds like a 10-year-old pop song, because it is. It just is. Now, I would like to talk about anything else.
Yeah, please.
In the world.
I watched a movie trailer today that I thought looked very interesting. It was for a movie called Fly Me to the Moon.
Which is not, I watched it too. It's not about Frank Sinatra. And I'm pretty gutted because I saw the news.
Who's
well,
in
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
that's what's cool about it. I saw the news post that Danielle put in the news doc and I saw Fly Me to the Moon. I'm like, a Frank Sinatra biopic I'll certainly hate? No, not a Frank Sinatra
it's
biopic.
Not, it's not.
Here's the premise that I ripped straight off of Wikipedia. During the 1960s space race, Carl's locked in, between the United States and the Soviet Union, that's Carl's favorite union, a relationship develops between the NASA director in charge of Apollo 11 and the marketing specialist brought in to fix NASA's public image because the space race was expensive and it wasn't going anywhere, and to stage a backup fake moon landing, which is almost certainly fictional. But you know, everybody thinks the moon landing is fake again because we're full of TikTok brain rot.
I saw this trailer.
No one's capable. Really?
Yeah. I remember seeing the end of it.
So, this movie,
while I was watching
Carl,
American Idol.
Speaking of the cast, it stars almost exclusively hot people and Woody Harrelson. Can you list off some of the cast on your now folded piece of paper?
Channing Tatum.
He's the lead.
ScarJo.
Also the lead.
Mm-hmm. Ray Romano. Oh, is he hot?
No, but he's hotter than Woody
Harrelson.
He's not
unattractive, but he's
Woody Harrelson looks like if like rusted barn nails were a person. Like, you know, galvanized roofing nails. It's just Woody Harrelson.
Oh, that's kind of what his name sounds like too, Harrelson.
Yeah, Harrelson. It sounds like a rusty nail hitting the... Yeah. Go on. Who else is in the movie?
Jim Rash.
Jim Rash, the dean.
Jim Rash.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I saw him and I was like, that guy.
Good movie.
Ding dong.
And Woody Harrelson and about a million more people. That. I watched the trailer. It looks fine.
I hope Jim Rash is like an astronaut that lands
is
on the moon.
Is it Coen Brothers?
No. I don't remember who it is.
Okay. A lot of the cast sounds like something they would.
The director actually changed. It is an Apple movie. The director actually changed. And originally it was going to star Chris Evans, but when the director changed, the timeline changed, and they had to find a new lead, and they chose Channing Tatum, which I am kind of on board with.
Yeah.
I like Channing Tatum. Now, we watched a movie, because that's the point. This is not a news show.
No.
This is a movie show.
Movies.
And we are as qualified to talk about movies as we are to talk about journalism.
Very important.
Which is to say, not at all. We watched Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, a movie that features no honor and almost no thieves.
There's some thieves.
Some honor.
And
we just took both sides.
This is maybe the worst movie I've seen this year.
Oh, no.
I was really hoping you two would like it because I hated this movie.
Right.
Now,
really?
Here's what I will say. Now that I've got everybody locked in or pissed off, I knew what I was going. I thought I knew what I was going into for this movie, and I was largely correct. I did not expect legitimate hardcore high fantasy. I did not expect a freaking Kevin James level comedy. I expected a lighthearted fantasy fun time. I mean, for God's sakes, Hugh Grant is in it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't going to be a serious movie. I didn't expect a serious movie. I'd seen the trailers, you know, look good, looked funny. I was really excited for this movie. I was looking forward to it all day and then was pissed off that it interrupted my, like, I missed the first four innings of the baseball game. To watch this movie.
Gotta play him better.
Well, the Rays are West Coast. I couldn't help it this week. Now, that is kind of what the movie is. It's pretty lighthearted fantasy, but I hated it.
I think it did all that badly.
Yeah. I think the script was bad. Wow. I think the acting performances were bad.
Carl,
I think the
what are we gonna do?
I think the costuming was great.
I'm just gonna go along with it. This movie sucked.
Yeah, this is the worst thing.
That's the worst. Don't go along with it. That's not an interesting show.
The other thing
is, I liked it a lot.
All right.
I don't know what I was expecting. I remember seeing the trailer, and there was that part where Chris Pine's character, whose name I forget, I forgot all the characters' names, but there's the scene
hallmark
where he's
of
like
a great film.
He's like, I still got a lot out of it without knowing their names. It's when he was singing, and he's like, and his face.
Oh yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah.
I saw that and I was like, so is this like a video game and like maybe in the game a character realizes they're in a game and tries to break out and they're like hacking it or something?
Okay.
So they're like playing.
I didn't
know what
Ryan
was
that movie.
Yeah, Free Guy.
Yeah.
Free Guy.
But I didn't know what the movie was going to be about. So I thought it was just going to be like they're pretending to play a game. They're not actually in it. But I don't know. I thought it was like, it kind of felt like and this is maybe going to get me in trouble, but the Chris Pine's character reminded me a little bit of like if Deadpool's personality gave Jeff Winger speeches.
Ah, all right. I had a similar deal. I said it was like a what if the study group was infinitely less compelling and interesting? because he does give when, what's his face? When Simon was trying to attune with the helmet that was going to let them open the door because we have to have a very loose, pointless plot. There's a very wingery speech in that, like, when Jeff Winger gives a speech, he's trying to get somebody to do something for his gain.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had that, but without the nuance. And I think that that's, and to Carl's point, thinking that this was going to be like almost video gamey or something, I wanted this movie to be sillier and more meta.
Sillier.
And I'll get to more of that at the end of the...
They did do some fourth wall breaking kind of stuff in the very, very beginning. Which I kind of enjoyed, that kind of set the tone. It reminded me a lot of like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that.
Like the plot of like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It reminded me a lot of Guardians.
Don't insult Pirates of the Caribbean by comparing.
It's a grand adventure with a lot of lighthearted fun.
So it reminded me.
No.
I'm gonna start going down my notes. We'll just hit what I have written down. So this won't be entirely plot related because who cares?
There's an owlbear.
First of all, Hugh Grant. I like Hugh Grant as an actor. Mm-hmm. I don't like Hugh Grant as a villain is what I've learned. I don't like it.
Mm.
I don't think he did a bad job. I think
his comedy in this movie felt really forced.
Or out of place.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I liked his little objections to things. No, like but he's at the top and he's like, still like, this tea's too hot. Like, it's just so silly.
Well, I wanted more of the movie to feel like that. Not that his comedy was out of place. It was, but I wanted more of the movie to be like his comedy. I don't know. Like, I wanted it to be
with Chris Pine.
Not enough. I wanted it to be more, a stupider movie, I think. I think it tried to maybe be, I don't know.
There's a big old fat dragon.
It's dumb. So
just rolling down the hill.
Here's the other thing. I'm going to say cliche about a million times and trope about a million times in this episode, because this was the most tropey cliche movie I think I've seen in 100 years. Not in a good way. Like, and all the reviews, by the way, are glowing of this movie. All of the critic reviews. I don't know if the good critics were on vacation, but all of the reviews are like, 8 out of 10, this movie was so much fun. And I was bored out of my damn mind.
We should talk about this. How much D&D knowledge do you have?
So, a good point. I wanted to bring this up too. So, I have played probably combined less than a dozen hours of Dungeons & Dragons. So not none. I've rolled 3 or 4 characters. I've played a full one shot in a night for 6 straight hours. And I was the only character that did anything good. humble brag. I have DM'd once in a homebrew campaign that lasted one session because writing a homebrew campaign is really hard. And I've listened to hundreds of hours of D&D podcasts. So my knowledge is not zero, but my knowledge is not what I would call extensive. My knowledge was good enough to go like, an owlbear, mimic, like, you know, whatever the panther beast with the tentacles, whatever those are called. I knew what that was, but not extensive.
See, I'm the opposite. You got me to play for one night. I spent more time making my character than we did.
That's the longest part.
Playing. Yeah, it was just one night. And then
that one too, or is that the one Steven ran?
Steven ran that one. And then I was like, yeah, just kill off my character or something. Let him go to sleep for the whole time I'm done.
Yeah, D&D.
So
give me a hero's death and call it a night.
That was like 2020. D&D is so hard.
Yeah, we were doing it over Discord. It was kind of bad.
You're kind of bad.
Oh.
You're kind of bad.
It wasn't bad. It was hard. It was hard to do over Discord.
Some of us had fun in that campaign.
Well, I didn't, and I left. But that's my extent of D&D knowledge.
I think that you don't need any to watch this movie.
Correct.
And I think that
I'm curious what Carl knows, because I'm wondering if that's the
very, very little.
Because I feel like me and Carl liked the movie. You guys didn't. I wonder if your knowledge of D&D had.
Nope.
No, I don't think so. Nope. Because I've seen when I was reading online today, because I also just thought it was so boring and so like just it felt like a bad Netflix movie to me.
Yeah, that's good.
And everything online was like it did D&D justice as far as like there were even more references and like points to the game that I don't know, because I have less knowledge than Cameron does, but I have some. So I think there was even more of like a justice done to the game, but as a movie.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I don't.
Like there was something about the boss fight, the very end, like when all the characters were taking turns or whatever, that it subscribed to the D&D combat situation of like 6 second turns. This person goes, then the other person goes, and this person. Yeah, yeah. But who cares? I don't think that should get the movie any points.
That's interesting. Because should it be able to work without having knowledge?
It did, though.
Or does that...
Yeah.
Right. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, I don't think...
For a D&D movie, should you have to know?
But has deep lore for those that know it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, deep lore going, that's a mimic. Wow. I don't know.
Well, maybe not deep, but middling lore.
Well, you know, Baldur's Gate getting referenced. Like, I played the Baldur's Gate game a little bit, and like all the locations were things, and then the big faction, the Red Wizards of or Witches of whatever. That's, I guess, from the game. Who cares? I don't care.
Pacing, you guys didn't like. You said too many tropes. So, like, which tropes really were jarring for you?
I will list a couple as we go. So okay. I have them. One of the things I wrote down. Trope wise is the backstabby steal your daughter because you abandoned her setup was cliche, and for as cliche and predictable and overused as that trope is, why do we need to sit through 35 minutes of disposition for that? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I did think the beginning was a little slow.
I also said if we don't get one meta dice roll joke in this movie, I'll be mad. Guess what?
Not one.
You feel like you're going to say something.
Oh.
You're there holding your breath.
Not necessarily. Okay. Well, I don't know. You guys, we're all just talking really fast. No, I don't know. I didn't believe any of the like relationships in the beginning. Like, I don't feel like any of them actually really cared or liked each other that much.
The dude's wife gets stabbed in a like monologue, prologue, dispositional, just way too long and foot dragging. And I didn't care. It didn't have any gravity. Probably because it was like a narrative and he kept interrupting it to be like, oh, is what's his face going to be here? Because it'd be really great if what's his face is here. Because
Jarnathan!
Like, great. Jarnathan, cool. Yeah. I like the Jarnathan interrupt.
To escape.
Great. Sure. Sure. Cool. Why did we interrupt six times? The only people more irritated than like the judge panel that he was presenting in front of was me because he kept doing it. And it's like,
I think it was tone setting. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Yeah.
I don't know.
The tone it gave me was, I'm already pissed off at this movie and it's been 20 minutes. Because get on with it.
Like, I say it's a Netflix movie because all the Netflix things have this just like too much. Is it disposition, exposition? Whatever.
I don't know.
Too much dialogue. Everything's explained and told to you. And this movie was just, this movie was just 50% just, and then we did this and then we did this. And oh, let me tell you about the history of this.
Isn't that D&D?
I didn't hate that because they told it in like, it was like a trial. So there was kind of a narrative device through that. And I thought that was a fun way to do it.
Yes. It's a trial, but everything else though.
On a level, it is D&D in that every time you meet a new character or whatever, you're like, oh, my father was a skillet and my skillet's rusty. Can you help me? and it's like, cool. That's fine in a game. I don't want to hear. And the amount of characters we had to keep up with, which was like 8.
Yeah.
And we got their life freaking story every time to the point where you get no time.
I love that.
For example, the big red witch lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No idea she was the antagonist, really, until an hour and a half in the movie. Which means that we had no real villain. Like, sure, we had the dude that took the guy's daughter and whatever. And yes, he's being puppeted by the witch people. But we didn't get any backstory into that for 90 minutes. And then the backstory we got wasn't really strong enough to make her feel like a big threat. It was like, she's
the Jedi
gathering.
Didn't know Palpatine was bad until the third movie.
What?
I said the Jedi didn't know Palpatine was bad until the third movie.
It's not true. Empire Strikes Back, we knew Palpatine was bad.
First, second, third, I mean.
Listen, no, we go in release order. The third movie was Return of the Jedi. But the third movie is also Revenge.
Well, he was saying the Jedi, not us.
Yeah, the Jedi.
Also,
yeah.
We knew that in Phantom Menace. Come on.
We knew, but...
Yeah.
They
we knew. That's what I'm talking about, is us, not the characters knowing about the bit. Like, she's bad. Okay. She's getting... And then the big whole bad event is her, like, gathering all these people into this arena so she can... question mark them for some
make
reason.
Make them undead to make them her army.
Yeah, we got army, two yeah. sentences of disposition for that. Not enough. It wasn't enough to make her feel like a compelling villain. Nothing spent enough time on anything to make anything compelling. But at the same time, it spent too much time that it made it boring, which means that the writing's bad. I think it's very poorly written.
I actually had like a note that I liked all the characters and that you had like all of them had very clear motivations.
Wow. Yes.
Dude, I wrote the same thing.
There's a lot of characters. They introduced each one in a very deep way.
Their motivations were clear.
They were also
the boring. The script was bad and boring.
You asked about my cliches. Here's one.
Mm-hmm.
When we get reintroduced to Simon, the bad sorcerer, his whole bit is that he's bad and he's doing his stupid magic tricks.
Oh my! Until he's not.
My finger can fire, and the grass smell.
He can't hold a flame and then, or candle to
the. So it like the camera goes to the back of the crowd, and it's revealed that his actual magic he's doing is collecting everybody's jewelry and money in this big ball. As soon as I saw the ball, I wrote down. I paused the movie and I wrote down. He's going to see the people in the back, and the ball's going to hit the ground, and then everybody's going to know that he's stealing the shit. And then guess what?
All that?
That's exactly what happened. I wrote it on this
piece. Did you say that he's also going to throw everyone on the ceiling?
Do you want to know how many other things I predicted from this movie? Because it is more than half a dozen. There is not a single major like Hallmark plot point that I did not see coming from 1,000 miles away. And I am not a film major. I am not literate in literature. I'm not good at movies. I've not seen a lot of them. And my dumb ass could predict everything that was going to happen in this tepid toddler baby food, stupid ass movie. I'm getting madder about it now.
Yeah, you are.
Little tiny Bradley Cooper.
Another thing, Bradley Cooper, stupid.
That was so funny.
Right after the Simon thing. So while we're gathering, it was actually right after the owlbear. I was like, oh, the druid. I knew it was a druid.
The actress was awful.
The script was awful, I think.
No, her delivery was.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Second
the girl with the horns that looked like Black Widow from Avengers.
The tiefling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she her line delivery was very wooden. Now, during that scene, I actually wrote, if we were not doing a podcast, I would shut this movie off. That's how not in I was.
It's so great. So
I caught myself playing games on my phone. That's never happened during
Holy
a movie.
Holy crap.
It's never happened really? During a movie I've watched on this podcast. And we watched
Gone with
the Wind.
I just can't believe this
Wind.
Was the pivoting point. I know. This was the movie. Yeah,
that's what I'm
like
saying.
It's.
We watched Gone with the
gotta
Wind.
We got to get to the bottom of like. So you've seen
Gone
a lot more
Wind.
Fantasy movies than us. I think.
I was going to say, is it
well,
just.
No, because you've got like
in
Lord
comparison
of the Rings and all these.
Is why you don't like it?
Can I skip to the end of my notes? I didn't want to do this in this order, but this keeps getting brought up. So that's what David said. I was talking to David today.
Hi, David.
And he mentioned to me that I didn't, this is a quote, I didn't like this movie because I bristle hard against fun, silly movies, which I did not, David, take as an insult. I literally sat down and went and thought about it. I was like, do I hate lighthearted movies? Dumb, fun.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Exactly. Knight's Tale, Smokey and the Bandit. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Those are three of my favorite movies of all time. Smokey and the Bandit is my favorite movie that's not Star Wars of all time. It is a dumb, stupid summer movie with no budget and no real plot. We need to get beer from Texas to Georgia and that's illegal. It's the whole plot of that movie. I don't think I don't like dumb movies. I don't consider myself some kind of like arrogant asshole that needs every movie to be The Godfather or Citizen Kane.
Right. You also don't like tension.
My favorite show is Top Gear. It's stupid. That's a stupid show. It's three rich, fat people falling over. It's literally how they describe that show themselves.
It's like
now,
the dragon.
I wrote three paragraphs. I'm just going to half read them. I think some of my issue with this movie is that it wasn't silly enough or meta enough. Things like, here's what I would have wanted. Things like a subplot. Where it's revealed we are watching a literal tabletop game played by real life versions of the actors with a celebrity DM.
That's what I was expecting.
Like,
yeah.
Imagine a celebrity DM cameo of like Danny Pudi or something.
Ugh.
Like a game master role. Or a meta dice roll joke, like I mentioned earlier. Or something like if the druid was like, I can't shapeshift anymore. I've done it twice today. Like a game mechanic limitation.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing.
They did have some of the five questions and things like that, which I'm sure a D&D specific.
Yes, the graveyard scene was one of the only scenes I thoroughly enjoyed. I loved that scene because it had more of like...
It played like a
game mechanic.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted more of in this movie. And, you know, we kind of got a little bit of that once we got a staff that was literally a portal gun from Portal.
That's a real thing in D&D?
I don't know. It could be.
Probably.
I don't know. But it is a freaking portal gun. Where was I? Something like those things would have gone a long way with me. More.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkled in more throughout. Like, I wanted game mechanic. I wanted more of a tie not to the D&D universe, but to the D&D game. And I don't think that that's an unrealistic expectation. And that would have, again, made for a little bit of a sillier movie. I
felt like this movie was very silly, and it's strange
that's
like...
That's what I'm struggling with right now. I thought it was very silly.
Because, like, the part
silly.
Where she's... The one, Olga's beating everybody up, and he's, like, trying to cut his, like, rope, and he's like, we got him now! I was cracked up the whole time, because it was just so ridiculous and absurd. So I'm like, yeah, I can't believe that you didn't think it was silly
just
enough.
His reactions in general.
Did you laugh one time? One time. I did not.
I don't think so.
I like belly laughed a couple times.
I didn't laugh at all.
Did we watch the same movie?
And here's the thing.
It's so crazy.
Again, I was not in a headspace where I didn't want to watch the movie. I've been looking forward to it all day. This is the first time that I've not liked a movie that I was genuinely looking forward to watching, except for maybe High Society, which that movie sucks.
We just not get it?
I think we have perceived everything that they talked about that they liked. Like, we got it. It's just we didn't like it. Now, here's why for me. I mentioned multiple times in my notes, I referenced the MCU. Multiple times. I'm going to say, let me think. Chris Pine's character, Shitty Jeff Winger. We mentioned that earlier.
That is spot
That's
on.
So funny.
The dragon intro was like, what if the Balrog entrance from Fellowship of the Ring was bad? The portal gun, blah, blah, blah. The gladiator arena shifting around. That's just Alien versus Predator. Nothing's original in this movie. The sorcerer's staff is a portal gun. Like, it's just
the whole movie felt like an amalgamation of other references.
Right. So it's Ready Player One, and that movie sucks.
That one too.
A mimic.
Ready Player
I liked
One was
the,
good.
I liked the mimic.
Want to be on record?
Yeah, but you would like it.
I think I just like references.
No offense, you. Get so bought in by brand identity that you would love that movie. That movie is... This is not an insult to your character, but that movie is made for you.
Yeah.
No,
remember every movie ever?
That's that movie. Steven Spielberg just jerking off cinema. That's that movie, and I don't know.
Well, I also just want to point out, Carl just said, I think I just like references. As the man who makes a reference to every movie, every single movie we watch. So, I think you do like references.
But this movie, like, Olga's character was very much like Drax, where she kind of was very dry but strong. Like, I kept, like, looking at each character. Like, well, this one's this one. And, like, it looked like a lot. Like, they
kind
of did a
grab
bag.
You didn't feel like her line delivery was borderline cringe? It was so bad. Because I was like, this.
Every time she said, no one hurts my bug, I was like, ugh.
I wanted to throw up
I
on
liked
my couch.
Her, I liked all the performances, I thought. I thought Chris Pine, I was like, it really... Bumped him up a level in my Chris
I did write,
ranking.
Chris Pine is doing a good job, but the script sucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Chris Pine can be so, like, that, like, sarcastic charming because he does it in other movies, and I just...
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of him
fault.
Except for, like, serious
Star Trek
roles. So this was, like, a
I've
breath
seen.
Of fresh air, yeah.
He was in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
He's in Wonder Woman. He's in Into the Woods. He's in Princess Diaries 2, which is my favorite Chris Pine movie.
I think Wonder Woman's the only thing I've seen him in besides this.
I'm going to talk about the MCU. The group attacking Sophia or whatever the big bad chick's name. I think it was Sophia.
Sophina.
Thank you. At the very end when they all like hit her at once and it's very cinematic and it looks like a bad Avengers scene. It's just dead. Everybody's
it was the
like
exact same
throwing
like,
their powers in the cameras panning in a circle like they had the track
that
around
did
it.
Did it for me.
Them pretending to be frozen was the most Guardians of the Galaxy
that,
dance
yeah, exactly.
I've ever
the
seen.
The druid owlbear smashing Sophina is just Hulk smashing Loki. Like nothing in the movie was original. And to that point, I'm going to be insulting here.
Well,
but I was mad when I wrote this. I mentioned I said this movie felt like MCU brain rot. And I didn't look up the writers until today, but two of them wrote for the MCU.
Oh, God.
So
I believe that.
Now, I think, this is what I wrote, this is my last paragraph. I think it swung for the Thor Ragnarok fences and completely missed. There is a community study group like element to it, but without the complexity and the charm. And I do not understand the high ratings for this movie. I was bored. Now, I do not like the Marvel movies at all. I know. And I'm wondering if that, but you not liking this movie either kind of detracts from my point here, is that I think that that's what hurt me for this movie is that the MCU, like, this movie is very clean cinematographically. I don't know. I like grit, film grit. Like, it was so shiny and bright and just not dirty, which makes it not feel real to me. I will say the costuming was incredible. All the costuming looked great. Most of the CGI looked good. There was one scene where the big fat dragon like has a chain that like hits down, that and was that rough. Looked that like was shit. And there was a couple other little quibbles that I have with the CGI, but apparently much of the movie was practical, which I think is cool. I think some of the fight scenes were just a bit, again, like MCU, like when Holga's fighting in the forge and just everything, grabbing a new weapon and fighting with a hammer and blah, blah, blah. That visually to me is like, I don't like it.
I had the thought watching her in that fight going, she's awesome because she uses everything around her.
I just don't.
In the fight. Like, she's on her toes. She's. Mm-hmm. I loved that. She like, when potatoes. She punches through and grabs the bow and then puts it around their head and.
I don't know what that's cool.
I think Cameron went, when that happened. Exactly. For some reason.
Because you're wearing a helmet.
Here's what I liked about this.
It'd be loud. It wouldn't hurt. But I don't know where the disconnect for me between, like, that and when, like, in Return of the King, when Legolas and Gimli, they're fighting the men from the west, I believe they are, or east. And the ghosts come to help at the end. But they got the Oliphants, right? The big ass elephants that are stomping around. And Gimli and Legolas are having a kill count. Like, they're. They have contests so you can kill more than the other. And Legolas, like, climbs up an Oliphant and, like, cuts the thing on top that's carrying all the dudes and gets, like, 35 kills and slides down the trunk of the dead elephant and lands right in front of Gimli. And Gimli goes, that still only counts as one. Why do I like that, but I don't like any of the fight scenes in this movie? Is it because they're so tight? I think that's because
it's a break in the... The normal, seriousness. Like, seriousness.
But yeah, that makes like David's point that I only like a serious movie, and that's not true.
I just wonder if maybe because those movies are so important to you that maybe it kind of tarnishes other fantasy movies.
I don't know. I haven't seen Lord of the Rings in 5 years. Like, yeah, it's important, but there's at no point while watching Dungeons & Dragons did I think to compare it to Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, because that'd be stupid. It's just,
I had the thought, I was like, is this off-brand Lord of the Rings? But obviously I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
No, I think it's Guardians of the Galaxy, but with swords and a bad script. I don't know. I like the line delivery was bad. I didn't like any of the acting performances really, except for maybe Hugh Grant, but he felt out of his humor.
He was
out
my
of
least
place.
Favorite.
Hugh sure. Grant like is said. Weird lately. I don't know. The last few things I've seen him, I'm like, do you know who you are anymore, bro?
He was just an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. Weird. What were you going to say, Nick?
It's just funny because everything I liked about this movie is what you're saying you hated. Cause like, I thought it was cool. I felt like there wasn't a character that we could have cut and had the same story. Like, you get introduced to each character individually and understand each character, and then at the end see all of that work together for them to defeat the big bad guy.
I just didn't find any of them compelling because we had to get a freaking backstory for like 5 people.
But it's not a lot. Like the D&D kind of
thing.
That's
a shitload.
Man.
And it's different, and they didn't lean upon enough of like in Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, you've got a guy that's a tree and he says, I am Groot. That's that whole guy. You can introduce that guy in 25 seconds and you know everything about him. Rocket Raccoon, swarmy, Han Solo-y, he's swarmy. An animated raccoon. That's all you need to know.
I mean,
for this, we had a Twinkie sorcerer that sucked at his job, apparently, and then all we see is him nail it, which is dumb. We have a tiefling druid that we barely like.
He's doing it not because he can, but because he has to.
I'm going to kill myself.
It's a metaphor.
The magic show in the beginning.
You know what it is?
We get it for real at the end.
You know
it's
what
great.
It is? A tired, worn out trope. everything. Again, nothing.
I think
Portal Gun, Community Speech.
I think comparison MCU, is killing this movie for you.
How it's can you joy. Not compare this movie to anything?
Because
this movie,
I'm me and I haven't seen anything.
Name one thing this movie does that's original. You can't. We will be here all night. It does nothing original. Not like the Chris Pine's character. Chris Pine's character during the last fight. They're fighting an animated dragon statue. And he throws the like top of a tent over the dragon's face and it starts running blind. And then he looks down at his feet like a rope. Goddamn Tom and Jerry cartoon from the 1960s. And he's got a rope around his ankles and goes whoop and gets drug off. I went, ugh, when that happened. I literally groaned because I'm like, gross, lazy. And here's the thing. Tropes like that are cool when you're watching Die Hard and you need a little bit of like relief. Like when he looks at the tit poster in the hallway before he's going to go get shot at 10,000 million times. And he's like, how you doing there, baby? I'm Bruce Wayne. Like, whatever. It's not when it's the 58th trope in a row and we're getting one every 3 minutes. That's exhausting. Yeah, I guess exhausting. That's
more, the tropes are like the backbone or the foundation of this movie.
It is. And that's where, for me, I just go dumb movie. Because in the same way that like a lot of Star Wars that I don't like now is remember this? Like it's just I was getting bludgeoned in the forehead with trope after trope after trope after trope.
Well, I think it's the combination of everything. I think it's the combination of like the like too much like dialogue, like bad dialogue, like the world didn't feel lived in. It was way too like clean and just pristine for a place that's supposed to be a medieval like fantasy world. You know, too many tropes. Like, I feel like the combination of all of these, like, little things just made it a miss
like,
for us.
Here's another thing. When they get on the boat with all the treasure, before they turn back to the city to go save it, because What's-Her-Face is going to eat all the people with red tentacles or
She's
whatever.
She's going to turn them into the army of the undead.
You know, the sorcerer uses his little push, and they get the boat out to sea, and Hugh Grant's arguing with the dock people and whatever, whatever. They go into the ship, the, like, hold where all the treasure is, and they pull out that tablet. I'm trying to find my notes here.
I got mad about the tablet.
Hang on. I'm getting mad about the tablet. No. Wait your turn.
You've
been... Yeah, I'm monologuing because this movie pissed me off. I said... I'm trying to find it, and I edited all my notes.
Embarrassing.
Do you have something?
Yeah, well,
she can talk now.
I will kick your ass. You're in my house.
No, my thing about the tablet, I was like, how does him holding up the tablet being like, see, this proves it? That doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't.
What do you mean?
All he know, like, he never lied because and said that there wasn't a tablet. He said it was a tablet of riches versus
not reawakening.
So him going, see, this is proof. I'm like, that
I
doesn't
have this.
Prove anything.
No, and here's what made me mad. I found my notes. It's right at the top of the page. I just can't read.
Oh, you silly goose.
At this point, right? So we're 25, 30 minutes from the end of the movie. They find the Tablet of Reawakening, and I wrote down, my guess is that the Tablet of Reawakening will not be used to bring back the wife, mom. It'll bring back Kira or Holga. Because of course.
What? That I did not see that coming.
I'm not joking. I said that out loud. Did I not?
Yes, you did.
30 minutes before that part 100% happens. Because again, I'm not.
Holga dies.
Yeah.
And then they do the flashback of like showing her with the kid. And I literally out loud went, she was more of a mom than the, oh my God, he's going to bring her back. I did not see it coming.
So... like, here's what I don't want to say, because David will get mad at me. I don't want to say I'm too smart for this movie, because David will get mad at me.
Well, many people liked it.
I kind of felt too... I think that so many people have MCU brain rot. Yeah. I really do. And I don't mean to be like a dick about it, but... And saying brain rot is being a dick about it. I understand that. So many people like and enjoy the MCU movies, so what they did is they made an MCU movie in Dungeons & Dragons land. And I think that's why I don't like it. I don't like MCU movies. I don't like their sheen. I don't like their humor. I don't like their approach to characters. I don't like their broadcast storylines. Like, on a level, yes, the movie's called Iron Man. I wonder who wins. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, and again, like, that's supposed to be a major emotional plotline. And I saw it from 1,000 miles away. And you didn't is interesting. Carl, did you see that coming? Or, like, I don't know. Am I just...
During the flashback, I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't, like,
I got 30 minutes before the flashback.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I'm, like, in... I don't mean to be, like, a hoity-toity asshole, but damn it. I was bored because 5 minutes before anything happened, I knew what was going to happen.
Do you think these tropes that you're seeing and getting upset with are, like, more commonly fantasy movie tropes or just... general movie tropes, and you're just like, God, again?
I think they're more than movie tropes. They're in plays. Mm. They're in Looney Tunes. Like, the rope around the foot thing is every cartoon we've ever seen for our whole lives.
But, like, we went to a play on Friday that was full of, like, weird, crazy nonsense and some tropes, and we thought it was delightful, I think. You know?
I thought some of it was tiring, and I thought a lot of it was really well done. I think that... So, the play we saw had five people in it, five actors. Mm-hmm. It was a Sherlock Holmes mystery. And Sherlock Holmes and Watson were the only two actors that played the same characters consistently. Like, they were only Holmes and only Watson. The other three people changed characters throughout, depending on the scene. It was really cool. And the set was very minimal.
Sounds awful.
Like, it was two platforms and two chairs and a sheet. And so they would throw the sheet over the chairs to make rocks when they were outside. And they would pull it off and set the chairs in different orientations for different buildings. Huh. And it was really clever. And, you know, it had your... when you have people like that, you've got your trope of one character has to be the same two people in the same scene. So they're taking a hat off and putting it back on, taking a hat off and putting it back on. And, like, that stuff is, like, you get a little eye roll, but you're also in a room full of people laughing. Which makes me wonder, if we saw this in a theater... Would we have enjoyed it more?
I brought that up to say, like, I don't think it's the tropes that made you not like it. I think it's the everything else around the tropes, too.
I think it's the sheen and the presentation. And I think it's just too MCU-ish for me. And I can't like those movies.
Maybe we would have liked it more if we were in a group of people.
But yeah, if we're in a theater.
I don't know.
Apparently, like, I was reading reviews on IMDb or whatever. And people were like, oh, when the Fat Dragon came out, everybody was rolling laughing. And all I went is, that's a shittier version of the Balrog entrance from Fellowship of the Ring. I didn't like any part of this movie, man, except for the graveyard scene. I thought that was great.
I liked it when, I don't remember his name. I know Reggae Jean Page. That's his real name. He had a sword.
His U-tight.
He had a sword and
the Green Ranger guy.
No, the paladin guy.
The Zink.
Yes. I think so.
I was going. Yeah, so
the dude that leads him into the underground spot.
Yeah,
and like
that guy
pretends
the infallible hero.
Yeah, pretends that he doesn't get any of their like. He's like does the Steve Rogers. I understood that reference, but in the opposite because you know the MCU.
Go ahead.
I was just say he had a sword that when he like stabbed somebody, the like tip of it went into somebody else, and then he went back and like, stabbed. That part was cool. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all. I wrote that down, and I was like, that's the first cool thing that's happened.
We're 90 minutes.
They dodged a trope with him because they could have done him being like an idiot in reality because that's the kind of a trope is this guy that's always like infallible but he's actually an idiot or something or like he messes up. But they let him be like a good person the whole way.
Everybody's so infallible.
Something I found interesting that I read about after watching the movie was the idea that like your core four characters, like the group that's together throughout the whole movie, those are the players around the D&D table. But all these other characters are NPCs
and villains
that are just there for you to get knowledge from and then move on your quest. So like,
you know, it would make that better if there were four players around a table and we did a pull out. You know what I mean? Not every 10 minutes, but even one time. If we had like a humorous pull out when some character was like, wait, I need a table talk. And then they go out and it's.
And then they go back into the story
and we never address it again. That would have made me go, ha ha, but nope, never
happened. That's how I wanted the movie to end, was seeing a table and seeing the people that were playing the game.
Yeah,
it's just
like covered in like Cheetos puffs.
Mountain
Dew.
They cut out and it's just the Stranger Things kids.
Fat Neil's there.
That'd be amazing. But yeah, it is kind of an odd choice to make a D&D movie and never show the role playing. It's just like, it's just reality.
Can we do something interesting? Can I shut up while you two just talk about what you liked about the movie for a contrast?
I think we've kind of, I don't know. I mean, all the stuff that we already mentioned, you were like, no.
No, exactly. I want to not interject and let you.
I mean, I just thought it was so funny the whole way through. Like when, as soon as she opened the door and it was just little tiny Bradley Cooper, I laughed the whole time he was on the camera on the scene. Like just him in that little, that huge chair and just being like smiling at her and just trying to be
serious.
His
wife was a giant too, right?
So yeah, I was dying with that. And I thought the guy that was like, the super straight-laced paladin guy who was just like, I don't traverse in colloquialism, and just like being very like not fun at all, like him walking over the rock, I cracked up. There was just a lot of little goofy scenes that were like, I thought pretty meta, because he's like, is he gonna keep walking over the rock? He's just walking over it. Like, I thought that was all very funny. I already kind of talked about the character motivations were very clear. I don't know, I just thought it was fun. I thought the pacing was good too. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it.
I felt the same about the characters were the biggest reason I like this movie. Because I loved getting to spend the time with each person to see, okay, the magician guy, this is what he does, this is what he's bad at, this is... Like, you're learning each character, maybe, not that I've played D&D much, maybe like you would in a real D&D game. You understand their strengths, their weaknesses, whatever. And like the shape-shifting person, you get that cool montage of her like running through the street and turning into 30 different things. You get all of that for each character. Mm-hmm. And then like halfway through, you see them all kind of come together and you're like, all right, I'm in. And then you get to see all of that you just learned pay off for this quest that they're on. Like, I really enjoyed the character development in this.
I did like the gladiator scene when they go into the stingy goo.
The stingy goo, that was good.
That idea was cool. And then I'm going to slither out as a druid snake and pull
the portal mirror, and the heist scenes were great.
Breaking into the carriage. I just kept thinking like, oh, it's just like once you have a portal gun, anything's possible.
It's only got a quarter mile range.
Yeah, you got.
It's only got a quarter mile range. It's like, what can't you do with that? And then, like the projecting, the astral projection of Chris Pine like singing was cool. I wish it was a bard, full on bard, because that would have been a little funnier.
He kind of masqueraded as one a little, right?
Yeah, he subclassed as a bard.
Yeah. I think he was supposed to be a bard, but they didn't have him singing that much.
Because I think he's a rogue, right?
No, well, the thing I read said he was a bard.
He was a shitty bard.
Yeah,
he was like a double agent or something.
But I will say,
not all bards sing, though.
We had a portal gun, but like the one time we needed it to get out of the underworld thing, they didn't use it.
We blew up a dragon. Well, because you can't portal to what you can't see. That's
but like they could have portaled from the island to like there were spots they could have portaled to. I think
I did write down about the like not gladiator, but I wrote down Hunger Games meets Maze Runner.
Yes, I thought Hunger Games when they were going up.
Yeah,
that's not the only thing you thought.
I also said it's really hard to watch this gladiator like fight scene right after watching Gladiator. Because
you know what else too?
Is a lot
that,
cooler.
Like, there's that too, and then there's like we watched a silly, lighthearted fantasy movie for the first week of Sword Month, and it's a 10 times better movie than this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like, are you going to, if, is there a universe in which you go, all right, tonight, Nick, we're going to watch either A Knight's Tale or Dungeons and Dragons Desire Fire Among Thieves? And you're not going to pick A Knight's Tale?
Yeah, but that doesn't make this movie bad. It makes that movie better.
It just makes it worse.
They're different, man.
But that's
why
we're frustrated because we were sold a great movie.
Is what's killing it.
Everyone said this is amazing.
But the movie invites comparison by being so similar to all these other things. I don't know if you can hold that against it.
It's full of, it's an Easter basket full of cliche grass. Like, it's just insane.
Easter basket full of the smell of fresh cut grass.
Was that the worst metaphor ever?
Yeah.
All right, well, what we've learned is I'm just a hoity-toity asshole who can't enjoy anything. I don't know.
That's not true. You explained to us earlier why that isn't true.
So, I just go back. You said this at the beginning.
You explained to us already why that's not true. You're not hoity-toity. You made that clear to us already.
I didn't mean it like that. Well, I didn't like it either, and I'm not an asshole, so... Between the two of us, Cameron is more of an asshole.
I wish we could
pinpoint
what it was exactly, but I think it was just the culmination of all of it.
It's
the reason you hate it is everything I liked about it.
Exactly,
so. I feel that.
Which is odd because normally you and I agree.
This is just a Scorsese thing for us.
Agree. And I think this is Scorsese is like our version of Marmite.
Yeah,
Scorsese.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew that would be a hot take. Because of all the reviews, and I'm actually, like, normally when I'm mad at a movie, I'm like, F that movie. I never want to, whatever. I cast it aside. But I really wanted to like this movie, and I'm kind of bummed out that I hated it.
I also think that I was maybe, not that I'm trying to change my opinion. I enjoyed it. I stand by it.
No, you should like it if you like it.
But I was very forgiving with a lot of it because I went into it going, I don't know a lot about D&D, and some things are just going to happen, and I just have to accept that.
Yeah.
Like, there's weird magic stuff happening. That's just the world that this is. Mm-hmm. So maybe I was a little too forgiving with that, but
I don't know, because that's Harry Potter and that's Lord of the Rings, and that's everything fantasy. I mean, like, that's the point.
When you, like, one of the first scenes was when he's, like, before the council trying to get out of prison.
Yeah.
And there's, like, all these different character-looking people and lizard heads. I'm like, this is just a movie where things are going to happen, and I can't overthink it.
The other thing I predicted at the end was Hugh Grant going to jump out the window, and I'm like, they'll have it bricked up like Wile E. Coyote. Guess what? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm not lying about this stuff either, because people are going to be like, oh, you're just making
all the stuff you're saying, I still like it more. I'm like, yeah, you ran into the window. That's great.
I don't know. I don't know why. Like, again, I wasn't in a bad mood. It wasn't landing for me.
I think I just expected kind of a dumb blockbuster summary kind of feel good movie, and that's what I got. So I don't know.
Well, I like movies like that. I liked Paul Blart Mall Cop, but I didn't like this movie.
I thought it was going to be goofier than it was.
I was expecting
like a D&D super bad, just stupid jokes. That might be a weird comparison, but just like, I don't know.
I expected it to be more, because it's kind of irreverent in some ways of the fantasy genre in its tropes and cliches, but so is like Shrek for the Disney princess genre. It's a very irreverent take, and that movie's very dumb, and it's also awesome. It's hilarious.
I was going to say this reminded me of live action Shrek, but
And like, there are things that I'm like, kind of like, you know.
Because Shrek is all trope.
It is, and cliche, and I don't know,
and reference.
Like, for example, Fiona singing to the bird, and then the bird explodes and just becomes like two steaming drumsticks on the thing. Yeah. That's great. I think that's really funny, but I don't know. The big scary dragon being like a suave, you know, falls in love with Donkey. Like, that stuff's hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's kind of a Pepe Le Pew.
Right. Without the rape. Yeah.
Aggressive with Donkey. I don't know.
That's true. But he's into it.
Yeah. Well, it'll work.
He asked for it.
Wow.
And
what was he wearing? That's the end of the podcast. What was he wearing? Wow. What was he?
Did he cause him to stumble?
Oh, no. Triggered!
The second most shoehorned love story of all time in this movie. Like, right at the very end with the tiefling and the sorcerer.
Mm.
Where they're like, is that fun? Can we date now or whatever? I'm like, this is just
like, that would be acceptable.
Yeah, dumb.
Did you catch his way Dan Harmon thank you?
Thank you.
They were doing, he was like, thank you. They were talking about his, like, it was when he was talking about the tiefling
Tiefling.
And he was talking about how, like, she didn't like his lack of charisma, and they're like, yeah, it's not your best feature or whatever. He's like, thank you.
I kind of remember that, but I don't think it registered. I was probably furiously typing on my phone. I don't know, man. I'm bummed out I didn't like this. David said to me earlier, is like, sometimes movies don't don't work for people. And my brain
that's
wants
totally
to
totally fair.
My
though.
Brain wants to reject that though, because I like quantifiable data. You know, I want to know why. And I think I know why. And it's what Carl said. It's a culmination of everything I mentioned, but still makes me feel like an asshole for not liking the movie, because I really wanted to. But you not liking it makes me feel a little better, because you went to college.
I did go to college. I have a degree.
I don't have a degree. I just have a degree in kicking ass.
Oh,
just kidding.
So
I'm
cool,
so
bro.
So small. I don't have anything else to say.
I have hot points.
Oh,
hot
shit.
Points.
Ooh.
And then a question. So.
A question.
All right. The character's name was Edgin, I think.
Sure.
Boo!
Chris Pine.
Edgin.
Not a hot name.
Edgin. Minus 1,000 points.
So, we started at 5, and my note I wrote down was, I don't even have any hot points because I was so bored and uninterested the entire time. Oh. So he stays at 5.
Not even
perfectly average.
He sacrificed bringing his wife back for this person that meant so much to his daughter.
I don't feel like he even actually cared about his daughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
You just let him poison your mind, though. That's That's Hugh Grant. She,
Hugh Grant got her, dude. Yeah. He got her, dude.
Poison her mind, dude. All right,
so that's the end of Hot Points.
So my question is, we in the middle, when Bradley Cooper makes his entrance as the halfling, Cameron goes, Bradley Cooper is one of the top three most attractive men in Hollywood. Am I wrong? And I said, even over Chris Hemsworth. And Cameron said, yes.
No.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask, you know who else I would,
you know who else I would resolutely put in front of Hemsworth? Momoa.
Momoa in front of Hemsworth.
Yeah, for me, it's Momoa over Hemsworth.
Momoa's,
they're both very handsome.
But I was talking...
Momoa's too redneck.
To be fair, I was talking like...
Too redneck.
Like,
yeah, he's... I don't know.
The A-list of A-list actors. Meaning like Brad Pitt... You know, Leonardo DiCaprio, like Hollywood's like golden leading
men. Is Bradley Cooper up there with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I think so. Of the last generation of Hollywood actors.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And when I think of like Leo and whatever, I'm like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, Bradley Cooper over Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. I agree. I just wanted to bring it up and discuss, you know?
Daniel Craig.
I don't think that haircut was doing him any favors.
Yeah, definitely not.
In this movie? No.
Definitely not in this movie.
But just in general. So I just wanted to bring it up, you know? Bradley Cooper? I have no
idea. It looks like if a fox was a person. Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
If a fox was a person.
Or a raccoon, you know, Rocket.
Clooney.
Yeah, but
he's 50.
He seems more like a fox.
He's 50. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Clooney and
he's 50.
He's in that bracket.
Goldblum, like that bracket. What I'm thinking of is like before the Hemsworth Evans.
Okay.
Like,
I see.
We're trying to pick the hotter person?
I was trying to pick, like, Bradley Cooper's up there for me. I just think he's a very handsome man.
I just thought that was interesting. Yeah. But I see what you're saying now. In the, like, you know, 45 to 55 range.
I would even say 45 to 65 range. I think Goldblum is up there in age now, and I would put him in there too. I think Bradley Cooper's up there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that now that we've talked through it more.
Like, you know, DiCaprio's only going to date women that are old enough to be his daughter.
I'm too old for him.
Yeah, you are.
Dang, missed my window. Yep.
Get your AARP card in the mail now.
The commitment to that, too. It's like 25 and done. It's like every
single
time. That's
like happy birthday.
What if you really liked
that
one?
Is he doing a ritual? Like, yeah, what's he doing?
I think their blood doesn't give him enough energy. Yeah.
He's got to be up to
something. Imagine like being 24, dating him, and on your birthday going, oh my God, this
is
it.
Oh
no. This is it. Last birthday with Leo.
Just wake up crying.
So funny. Yeah.
Wonder what he does when he's like too old. Well, he won't be too old to pull 25-year-olds probably because he's got all that money.
He's Leonardo DiCaprio.
De Niro like just had a kid.
Which is weird. Wow. So did Al Pacino.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. That one was insane.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah.
He's like 90.
What's he like 80? Yeah, 90. Yeah. Oh,
holy crap.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just as vigorous as ever. It's like, still. I don't want to think about your old wrinkly dick.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Chris gross. Pratt in Community.
He's like doing lines of Viagra.
He's like, ugh.
He's like, ugh. You mean these old people are, ugh.
That's in Parks and Rec, sir?
Yeah.
Chris Pratt. Did I say
not,
Community?
You said
Chris
Pratt's
not before they, yeah,
whoops.
Before the
you know what I meant.
Guy. God, what were their names?
I don't remember.
They go and stop the sex ed talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this right here.
We need to stop. I know you're talking. I can't think of their names.
Yeah. They have like very, very similar names.
Yeah.
It was like Pat and Patricia or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, should we do Hit, Mid, or Miss?
Well, how are we doing on time?
We should do Hit, Mid, or Miss and stop. Because I don't want to talk about this movie anymore.
Unless anybody has anything else to say.
Any closing...
You're going to think I don't have anything closing.
What were you going to say?
But you're going to think I'm insane with my hit, mid, or miss.
No, not because I'm expecting hits from both of you.
Because, well, I was mid until the last third of the movie.
Act 3 really did it for you, huh?
Yeah.
You get a rip-off Avengers fight and you're locked in.
Yep. I guess so.
Hey.
It was a hit.
Do you have other people pre-chew your food for you, too? I'm just kidding. Carl, what do you think about this movie?
Yes. Not to be cliche, but yeah, I thought it was a hit, too. I just enjoyed it.
My trope
very
is that this
of
is
you.
A miss.
It's very
trope. It's very trope for Carl to give movies hits.
I'm going to subvert expectation and go mid.
I
thought it was a hit. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Every clip that comes out of this episode is just going to get me flamed online.
It's true. But hey, maybe we'll get a lot of likes.
Content, baby.
Content, baby.
Everybody
please.
Controversial. Everybody can suck my ass. I'll still sleep at night. This movie's a miss. It sucks. I don't want to ever watch it again. It's the worst movie of the year, I think. I think
that
I would literally.
Can't be right.
I don't know if I hated this or Superbad more, but it's one of those two.
All right. You are clearly in a bad place right now.
Superbad. I watched 10 years too late. We already talked about this. I don't think you can watch Superbad for the first time in your 30s. In the same way that, like, I don't think I'll ever watch The Hangover, because there's no way that movie's going to.
There's no way that holds up.
Right?
I love that.
Or Step Brothers. Like, I'm 30 years old. You can't watch Step Brothers for the first time when you're 30. You have to watch that in 10th grade.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of dads.
A lot of the Will Ferrell movies.
A lot of dads like Step Brothers in 2011.
All right, all right.
It's a different time now. Like, if you watch Talladega Nights now, you're like, this was funny.
Yeah.
I did rewatch that a while ago because it was new on Netflix, and I was like, let's see if this holds up. And it kind of did.
It kind of does, but because of
it's not my favorite.
Is lifting a heavy burden for a lot of these older films.
Yeah,
miss for me.
I think I'm going to go hit.
No, you're not.
No, I'm going to go miss. Miss.
Split decision.
Psych.
Split decision.
That doesn't get a
so the weighted GPA is mid overall for this movie?
The weighted average is mid. Mm-hmm. This is a mid-ass movie.
The average is average.
And it's like a mid 7 out of 10, I think, on a lot of. It's got like a 7.2 to an 8 on a lot of the ratings aggregates.
Yeah, I remember seeing 8s.
And that's my critic score. And I'm like, why? I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I probably am. But hey.
Let us know in the comments below. Is he an idiot?
Call me an idiot. And let us know in the comments below and enjoy the podcast before you get blocked. Now, we have to pick a movie, and there's only one thing to pick.
Oh,
thank God. We get a palate cleanser because we're going to watch Disney's animated Robin Hood from the 1960s.
Oh, yay.
Which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Clap. In short.
All time. It's an hour and 40-something minutes. Carl, have you seen it?
It's been a very long time.
One of the best whistling movies of all time, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, oh, yeah. Up there with the
that
Andy Griffith
Show.
That may
have been what got me into whistling, was that rooster.
Huge
movie for whistling.
I feel like it's a really big moment. I don't think I've seen this movie. I feel like it's one that I'm going to put on and remember scenes from just growing up. Mm.
So you may have seen it.
Maybe.
Fox, Big Bear. That's essentially the exact same bear as Baloo from Jungle Book, by the way.
Which one came first?
Oh, yeah.
Jungle Book came first.
Dang. It's a reused.
There was a lot of frame borrowing and things like that.
They changed his color. It's grayer, I believe, in this one or something like that. So, marvelous movie. Marvelous movie. Arguably the best Robin Hood adaption. You like it?
I love it.
Good Disney movie? One of the best?
Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. It's so hard because there's so many that are so good.
I think if you remove Pixar from the equation, which you must, it's up there.
But yeah, you got to limit it because otherwise there's too many.
There's too many. Disney movies. You know, there's a lot
of
princess
Pixar
films.
Is going too far for me now. I can't keep up with any of it.
Pixar is just all they can do is make Toy Story.
Those
11,
Toy Stories. Oh, man. Oh, God. Yeah, they're making a
new one coming
in
2025, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, that's the show, folks. Mm-hmm. Unless anybody else has anything else they want to talk about.
I don't think so.
All right, well, go listen to JoJo Siwa's hot new single, Karma is a Bitch, and so is
our
Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah, wherever you enjoy music, watch the music video and see if you can get through it. I didn't. I skipped ahead. We're going to watch Robin Hood and enjoy a good fantasy movie, for God's sakes.
Ooh.
Okay.
Split decision. Wow. Carl and Nick liked it. Go be friends with Carl and Nick on Discord. Join our Discord. Follow us on TikTok before it gets deleted, if it ever gets deleted, on Instagram. And subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. Follow us on your favorite podcatcher, as David Ward would say. And we'll catch you in the next one.